All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the third day of October 2017. Before I talk to you more about today's show, I do want to remind you that I'm the author of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and that you can subscribe by going to miningstocks.com. miningstocks.com, or you can call our office here in New York at 718-457-1426, 718-457-1426. Call during normal working hours and someone will pick up the phone. You'll have a live body talking to you. What is an exciting opportunity right now in the junior gold sector, no doubt about it. I mean, Novo Resources, which is a sponsor of this show, we've had Dr. Henning on this show. He'll be scheduled to be on in 3 or 4 weeks from now once again. But Novo Resources has gone from something around 80 cents, it traded up to $7 today. That's just 3 or 4 months ago it was selling at those levels. Are they on to a major discovery? We're going to be talking to Brent Cook next week and John Kaiser, two people who have visited the project recently, and get their opinions. But it is a very exciting time in the exploration space now with gold. Maybe gold isn't on fire right now, but the gold shares, those companies that are putting money in the ground, finding gold, finding other minerals, are very exciting. Klondike Gold Corp is another one. Its price has more than doubled this year. We'll be talking to Peter Talman after the first break today. Peter Talman is the CEO of that company, and they have a very exciting project, I think also a world-class exploration project that is being worked on in the Yukon, and Peter will talk to us, give us an update on that. We'd like to encourage you to continue thinking about or visiting Chen Lin's website. Chen Lin has done extremely well. He's taken $5,400 to $2.5 million over a 10-year period in an IRA account. And Chen is sharing his bits of wisdom with subscribers. So chenpicks.com if you're interested in exploring a subscription with Chen Lin. I do want to thank each of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel, and I also want to invite you to continue sending along your questions and comments to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. Also want to thank our sponsors for making the show economically viable. Our sponsors for today's show are New Range Gold Corp, Klondike Gold Corp, RN Resources, Novo Resources, and Genesis Metals Corp. I've titled today's show, The Dollar's Future and Yours. Are you ready for a brave new world? James Rickards, Michael Oliver is back today. Thank God for that. And Peter Talman, as I noted, will be on with us after the first commercial break. In 1971, Richard Nixon detached gold from the dollar and through diplomacy and military might created dollar hegemony. Foreign wars and socialism could now be paid for via the dollar printing press, and politicians wouldn't have to be at all honest and tell the American people that they would actually have to pay for wars and socialism. No, they could be done and carried out without charge. One of the repercussions of going off the gold standard then was that the United States could print pieces of money, pieces of paper, to buy up the world's goods, which of course resulted in a chronic trade deficit for the United States and a loss of manufacturing jobs that previously provided income and upward mobility for the middle class. Self-serving politicians argued that endless trade deficits were immaterial because the United States' exceptionalism allowed America to do whatever it wanted. Furthermore, given the arrogance of our leaders, they suggested to the rest of the world that our endless and murderous wars and regime changes are actually good for the masses of people who occupy those countries with cultures that are different from our own. No, we were going to make them in our own image, they said. As Hillary Clinton said after she toppled Gaddafi, we want democracy, but we want our kind of democracy, meaning that we want to control you, That statement has many Americans scratching their heads these days. What is good these days about American democracy, some wonder? In any event, whenever foreign leaders refuse to accept dollars for commerce, as Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi found out, the U.S. uses its military might and CIA for regime changes. Now, here is what I want to talk to James Rickards about. He'll be with us at half past the hour. James has explained that even the strongest adversaries of the United States, like China and Russia, cannot compete against U.S. weapons of mass destruction, so they are increasingly engaged in currency wars in an attempt to protect their own national sovereignty. And some of the questions I want to ask Jim today is the dollar in trouble as a result of currency wars being fought by Russia and China? If so, how will that impact your life and your investments? If gold is the most durable currency, how does Jim see the producers of that durable currency, namely the gold miners? Well, one company that is not yet mining gold, again, is Klondike Gold, and we just mentioned Peter Talman will be with us to talk about his prospects there. Actually, a tremendous structure that's been identified, gold-bearing structure that can be traced some 55 kilometers. Of course, it needs to be explored and drilled, and we don't know how much gold is there, but it is an exciting prospect. I think that that Klondike has the potential to, if not equal what Novo has done, to at least rise very dramatically in its share price, of course, based on results. Now, many listeners have gone into a kind of withdrawal syndrome over the past 2 weeks because Michael Oliver has not been with us. In fact, one listener left a message on our voicemail wondering if Michael might be missing in action. Maybe he made a terrible mistake in some of his calls, especially on gold, and he's afraid to come forth. Well, I can assure you that's not true, because right now Michael Oliver is with us. So for those of you who are really suffering Oliver withdrawal syndromes, I would suggest that you might consider subscribing to his letter, and you can do that by going to olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Great to be back, Jay.
Great to have you. And, you know, just to be clear to our listeners, you were absent from this show 2 weeks ago, in large part. I think the only reason was because of logistics. I was in Europe traveling there, and it just wasn't possible to do the show live. And then last week you had some issues to take care of, personal issues. So let me assure the listeners out there that Michael isn't hiding from anything. If anything, he's out there.
A little knee surgery, that's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how? Come on. I mean, what kind of a wuss are you, Michael? You should have been on the show.
I mean, living at the gym.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm so glad you're back with us. Michael, in your weekend report, you put out two very important missives, I think, that, you know, one on Sunday and one on Monday. The one on Sunday called for a bear market in U.S. T-bonds as well as European sovereign debts and the equity market, specifically the S&P 500 is what you track most closely anyway. And then on Monday, you called for a continuation of a bull market in gold and the commodities and non-dollar currencies, meaning that the dollar in a bear market. Can you talk about what you see for the debt markets, first of all, and the equity markets? Sure. Maybe link those two together first.
Okay. Well, the debt markets are king. First off, they're huge. Okay, they dwarf the stock markets. And I'm talking about not marginal debt or emerging market debt or, you know, the stuff that's high risk. I'm talking the safe stuff, quote unquote. U.S. Treasury bonds, notes, German bunds, Japanese government bonds. These are the things that went to zero yield. We didn't. Our notes got down to 1% or so, and T-bonds got down to about 2% yield. But the Germans and the Japanese took their rates below zero. This is insanity. It's fantasy land. But they kept them there a long time. And whenever you distort something a long time, it creates fundamental distortions that are almost immeasurable because the ramifications are dispersed throughout the economy. And they later come home to roost. So the longer the fantasy land, the deeper, the worse the swing back is when it finally comes undone. So, but technically speaking, period, technically, when we look at annual momentum of the German bunds, Japanese government bonds, and the U.S. T-bonds, I already see large evidence of a bear trend emerging. There's some residual evidence left, but I say residual is very close to happening. It's decimals away. I suspect in the next few months that I'll get those signals. If the debt markets start to break down, meaning yields start to rise, I think that will be reflective of the emergent commodity uprising that is underway. It's underway in such a way that it confuses people. It's slow, mm-hmm. it's arduous, it's overlapping, like the gold market's been.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in context. Gold had a big sell-off, admittedly, in late 2016, from the 1300s down to the low 1100s, but that made a higher low. It did not go back to 1050. And then it turned up and rushed to within $20 of last year's price high about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it got close to the high. At the same time, annual momentum exceeded that high, by the way. So when I look at gold in big strokes, I think it's bottomed. I think it's ready for a stronger, more overt up move. And I think a lot of commodities are ready to join it. Think about this. Oil made a low at 26. It's around 50 right now. Copper made a low under $2. It's trading around 3 right now. The one missing piece are the food markets. And I think the grain markets, which started to turn up this summer and then fell back, but not to a new low. They fell back holding a higher low. I think the grain markets are going to explode next year. The structures are there for momentum that justify such a move. And when the food markets move, that's when people get upset. It doesn't upset your monthly expenditures when gold goes up, but it does when the price of all your foods go up, including cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Corn,
mm-hmm.
wheat, etc. That will get the attention of the central banks. That will help unnerve the bond markets as well, because then they're going to get their inflation as they define it, namely commodity inflation. We have rampant stock inflation, but they ignore
right.
that.
Right.
But when they get commodity inflation across the board, and I think they're going to get it, and gold's already led the way, it will become more obvious, and the trend will become easier to follow. Right now, in the initial arm wrestling process of these tectonic shifts, which are underway,
mm-hmm.
You get a large move in the new direction, and then you get a counter trend move. For instance, bonds had a counter trend move to the upside from
mm-hmm.
the March low this year. They were 148, went up to 159. Now they're back down around 152. We issued a sell last year at 166 on T-bonds. Right now they're 152. We think they could go into the 120s, meaning get yield up to 4.25%.
Wow.
That's upsetting to the world. So,
Boy, yes.
My main focus right now would be, if you're in these markets, don't be leveraged, don't be too aggressive, because this is a process at this point, a trend change process,
mm-hmm.
and those almost invariably involve arm wrestling action, where you get some gains, and you give it back, then you get some more gains, and you give it back, and then finally you'll get a rush. But I don't think we're at that point of the rush. I think that comes next year.
Go ahead, Michael. We'll be waiting for that whoosh sound, and your momentum indicators provide that. It provided that for gold. Well, I don't know if you call it a whoosh when it goes down, but you had a timely call to get out of gold back in 2013, I believe it was.
2012, in the 1600s. But, you know, that's another example. That took that top a year and a quarter to finally collapse.
Uh-huh,
and yet
uh-huh.
we declared a top in January of 2012, and it wasn't until April, May, June of 2013 that you really got your collapse. So, again,
right.
an example of an arduous process. And investors need to be ready for that. This is the early phase of major trend changes, and they don't usually happen rapidly. They're deceptive.
Right, deceptive. And, well, we want to know when the big ones are coming, Michael. I can tolerate the small moves. But, boy, I don't want to be in the gold shares if we're into a major gold bear market again. So we're looking to you for some help to guide us along.
Not
perfectly.
I don't see anything major on gold that says be concerned.
Okay. If anything, your bias is towards the upside.
My bias is it's just another nuisance, 5, 6, 7% drop. But where are you up on the year right now?
Yeah.
Up about $130 on the year
yep.
at the present
yep.
time. Think about that. Put those things in context. Anyway,
all right.
2018 is going to be a hell of a year, let me put it that way.
Okay, it should be a very interesting year. I hope that we can have you back constantly through 2015. Michael, you're such an encouragement to me. You've been very helpful to my listeners. They actually suffer withdrawal symptoms when you're not on with me. So thanks so much for alleviating their pain and mine. And we'll look to talk to you again next week, hopefully.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks. Well, we do have to go to break, but when we come back, Peter Talman will be with me to talk about Klondike Gold and their resources, their exploration project there in the Klondike, some 55-kilometer-long structure that they're looking at. Very exciting projects, so don't go away. We'll be right back with Peter Talman.
Horan Resources is a Canadian-based gold exploration company focused on the company's flagship Committee Bay project, located in northern Canada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. The company's current resource, outlined by drilling thus far, stands at 1.1 million ounces of gold at over 8 grams per ton. Horan is operated by the same team that founded Asanko Gold, which is constructing a major gold mine in West Africa, and Caden Resources, which was recently purchased in November for over $200 million.
New Range Gold Corp is a Canadian junior explorer focused on its recently acquired flagship Pamlico Gold Project, located in Nevada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. Known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold districts, Pamlico was held by private interests for most of its history and remains largely unexplored. Drilling by New Range is already confirming the legendary grades of the district, with intercepts up to 341 grams gold per ton. Well-financed with no debt, New Range is unlocking shareholder value at Pamlico and trades under TSX symbol NRG.